Amen. Praise God. That's a good song for any sermon, I guess, huh? Amen. All right. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Amazing Grace. Welcome, everybody. Enjoying the beautiful weather out there, I'm sure. Amen. Second day under 100. Praise God. Before I start, my wife just wanted me to say thank you to everyone for your prayers. It is a miracle with her mother, and we thank you very much for your prayers. Your prayers are powerful. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Father, we just we ask that you open our hearts and minds this morning, Father God, and we praise you. We thank you for all our answers, all your answers to our prayers, Father, and we thank you for the reminder to stay in prayer, to stay diligent, to stay ready for your coming, Father God, and we ask that you just bless our hearts with this message this morning. Speak to us, Father God, about the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. All right. My sermon title today is Your Redemption is Drawing Near. Praise God, right? Maranatha. Amen. It could be today. All right. I'm going to talk to you about warning signs, okay? Warning signs. At an intersection, the green light changes to yellow. It's a warning, right? In the Battalion Tactical Operations Center, a warning order comes from the brigade. That's a warning. At the airport terminal, the boarding call comes over the intercom. Get ready, right? At a railroad crossing, the lights begin to flash. In a small Midwestern town, the tornado siren screams. On the football field, the two-minute warning sounds. Sometimes it's a gun, right? In the cargo bay of a C-140, a red light comes on. My dad told me about that, right? It means get ready to jump, amen? Red light comes on. In the desert of Judea, a voice of one calling in the wilderness is heard declaring, prepare ye the way of the Lord. John the Baptist, amen. What do each of these warnings have in common? They are signs that we need to prepare ourselves for what is about to happen. That's what these warning signs mean, amen? And last week, Jesus was talking to the disciples about being ready for the signs that must come that will warn us not only of the fall of Jerusalem back then, right, but also of the second coming of our Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been in the end times for over 2,000 years. The end is near. But just because we're seeing signs, Scripture says it does not mean that the end's going to come right away. Jesus had been talking about signs that would lead to the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. But now he's going to be talking about the end of mankind as we know it. The end of the human experiment, if you will. Amen? When Jesus is going to return and he's going to establish his kingdom. But first, there's going to be signs. Jesus says there's going to be signs. Verse 25, our first verse today, says, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. This is talking about the end of the world as we see it today. The end of the world as we see it today. He shifted from the end of Jerusalem to the end of the world. And this is his description of what the end of the world is going to look like. And I don't know about you, but to me, it sure seems like we've had a lot of hurricanes and natural disasters in recent years. Amen? Is it a sign? As a matter of fact, this coming tropical storm Hillary, that hit Baja California yesterday, is said to be the first one to hit Southern California since 1939. That's going to be tomorrow, or today, sorry. Is this a sign? Is this a sign that we're getting closer? Or is it just maybe judgment against California? No, just kidding. No. Amen. Sorry. But is this a sign? Amen? Verse 26 says that people will faint from terror apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And at that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Wouldn't it be amazing to witness that? Amen. The final moments when the King of Kings returns in all of His glory. Jesus is coming back. And it's going to happen in an instant, like a thief in the night. And here the Lord is describing what it will look like. He says, people are going to start to faint from terror. It's going to be so incredible. They say people will suffer heart attacks just at the sight of the Lord's return. It also says that the heavenly bodies will be shaken. The sun, the moon, all the stars will be shaken and become unstable. We're all going to know what's happening. Amen? Then and only then, it says that the Son of Man will come in a cloud. They wanted to know the signs, and the Lord wasn't going to disappoint. The Lord was going to let them know the signs. Jesus said, these are the signs that the Lord is about to return in all of His glory. Amen. And God's Word says that when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Amen? Praise God. Maranatha, right? Your redemption is drawing near. When these things take place, we're going to stand at attention. We're going to lift our heads. We're going to lift our arms. We're going to rejoice for the redemption that has come. Psalms 137 says, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is loving devotion, and with Him is redemption in abundance. We will be redeemed. And when He has come, your hope will have arrived. Our redemption will have drawn near. But it also says that when He comes, people will faint from terror. One translation says that men's hearts will fail them from fear and the expectation of those things that are going to come upon the earth. The book of Revelation describes how the world's going to react, the world. It says in Revelations 6, the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in caves among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath had come, and who can withstand it? Revelation. So who are these people that Jesus is warning will faint with terror? Their hearts will fail them, and they will hide in caves when the Lord returns. Certainly not us as believers. Amen? We're going to be standing with our head up and our hands raised. Amen? It'll be our redemption, our living hope that is drawn near. It'll be a glorious day for all of us who believe. No, these will be the hearts and the terror of the world that has not given their lives to Christ. Those are the ones that are going to be hiding in terror. You see, the warnings of terror and desolation that were given to those before the fall of Jerusalem, those warnings are still there in God's Word. Amen? Those warnings are still there, but not for believers. Not for those written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For those who are saved, this will be the greatest moment in the history of the world. This will be our greatest moment. And it says, for those of us believers who are still alive when these things begin to take place, Pastor Rick says he's going to be one of them. Maranatha. Amen? Maranatha. For those of us who are still alive, stand up, lift up your heads, because our redemption has drawn near. For those who are still alive, they will be transformed in the twinkle of an eye. They will be transformed in an instant. Mortality will put on immortality for all who are saved. Immortality, eternal life, amen? Eternal life. This is the promise for those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, he told them the parable. He said, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. This is a simple yet amazing illustration using trees as an example. This is a tree in my backyard. Every year, me and my wife are amazed at, we'll be out in the backyard, standing there, you know, enjoying the cool weather, what's left of it, right? And the next day we come out and there's like budding and leaves on the tree. It seems like it happens overnight. Amen? Seems like it happens overnight, but, you know, to us it's just an amazing part of God's creation to see that happen so fast, right in our own backyard. But the point is that when we see this, we know summer is drawing near. We know the cool weather's leaving and the warm weather's coming. Amen? And in today's text, Jesus is saying that in the same way, when you see these signs, you will know that the time of his second coming is drawing near. Amen? You will know. Verse 32 says, truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Was Jesus talking to the was he talking about the generation of people he was speaking to at the time? Sounds like it, right? He says, this generation. Or was he speaking of the generation that will see those signs at the end of days? Amen? Excuse me. Or did Jesus mean the Jewish people when he said generation? Meaning they would not perish because the world would certainly try to exterminate them over and over again. As a matter of fact, almost every country in their part of the world today would still like to exterminate them. Just yesterday, two Jews were murdered at a West Bank car wash in Israel by Palestinians. And they say that the fighting between these two is the worst that it's been in two decades. But Jesus did say that people would hate us because of his name. Amen? He did say that. Either way, those generations would not pass away until the things Jesus spoke of would come to pass. And in verse 33, it says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. It's pretty terrifying to hear that heaven and earth are going to pass away, right? Hard to believe just what that's going to look like, but that's just to say that the old is going to make way for the new. Amen? The old is going to make way for the new heaven and the new earth. Now, no one knows the time, not even the sun, right? No one knows the time or can anticipate the moment. Many, as I talked about last week, many have tried to guess. Amen? Many have tried to guess, but the signs of the times are pretty evident. And I would suggest that we better be ready and we better stay ready for the return of the Lord. Then he says, my words will never pass away. That is to say, he is God. Amen? He's saying, I'm God. My words will never pass away. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? And so it says, the heaven and the earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. This kind of reminded me of this church here. This is a church in Lahaina, Maui, in Hawaii. Okay, and I don't know, the picture's not very great, but from back there. But did you guys see this in the news? This is the neighborhood, completely burnt and charred right across the street. And it was like this all the way around this church, but the church was untouched by the flames. The church was untouched. Even the grounds, the trees, the grass, when you could see the picture, you look it up online, you'll see the plants And the grass and everything's still there. Nothing's touched, but all this is completely charred and burnt. Just about the whole town burnt down. But there's this church untouched by the flames. Amazing, right? And the whole neighborhood around it burnt. This kind of reminded me, we've seen this before, amen? We've seen this before where churches and certain parts of churches, Bibles, survive all these fires. And, you know, it just goes to show that God's church and God's word, as he says, will not pass away. And may God bless all those affected by this horrible fire in Maui. Amen. Then Jesus starts to talk about how we should live, knowing that this is the end of days. And this is the most important part of the message. Amen. About how we should live in the end of days. He says, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the earth. Remember, Jesus had instructions for the Jewish Christians on what to do, right? What to do when Jerusalem was going to be surrounded and besieged. Amen? What did he tell them? He told them to flee. He said, leave, flee. But he also has instructions for us, okay? He has instructions for us. He says, the church, he tells us that during the destruction of the last days, he tells us, be careful. Be careful or we will be weighed down with three very common things in the world today. Three things that become more and more common all the time. Amen? Number one, carousing. Carousing, definition, the activity of drinking alcohol, or you could say drugs, doing drugs, and enjoying oneself with others in a noisy, lively way, as in a night of carousing. I think we all understand what carousing is, right? How many of us used to live for a night of carousing as often as we could get it? Amen? That's all we lived for, right? That's all I lived for a long time. A night of carousing. And this ever did or does, all this ever did to me or does to anyone is dull our senses. Amen? It dulls our senses to what's really going on in the world. What's really going on around us. This can be easy to do when we get anxious in life, right? We get anxious about things. We don't want to face the truth. We turn to our addictions. Number two, drunkenness. There it is. Drunkenness, which is one of the causes of carousing in the first place. Amen? Right? Drunkenness. Using alcohol to avoid facing reality and to deaden our anxieties. Live that for a while. The worst part, though, about being under the influence of any substance is that it blocks our communication and our relationship with God the Father. Amen? Not to mention what it does to all our other relationships. And the third one, anxieties of life, the fears of this life. These are the things that happen when we don't trust God. Amen? The fears that we have every day are the things that happen when we don't trust God. The Bible says fear is the opposite of faith. In Romans, it says fear is the opposite of faith. We must turn our anxieties into prayers. Turn your anxieties into prayers. And so instead of living in faith, we might be weighed down by being involved in these worthless activities. Worthless activities. And if we're doing that, Jesus says that the day that's supposed to be our redemption could come on us like a trap. Like a bear trap. Amen? Like a bear trap. This is a vivid example of what can happen to someone at the end of days if they're not right with God. This is saying get right with God. This could also mean that that type of living will ensnare us. But we should not be surprised or weighed down as believers. Rather, we're supposed to be vigilant. Jesus says to be vigilant. Are we living in a way where every day could be the last day? That's how we should be living, right? Maranatha, right? Thinking every day could be the last day. Are you truly saved and living in repentance daily? We all sin daily. We all need to live in repentance daily. Is that how we're living? Then Jesus says, for it will come upon those who live on the face of the whole earth. Now, as believers, we're not going to have to worry, but the unsaved will. They will experience on a worldwide scope all the events that Jesus is speaking of. Just like COVID was spread around the world for a few years, amen? You will not be able to avoid it. Was any of us able to avoid COVID? I don't think so, right? Anybody? Cody was. Amen. All right. At least somebody escaped. But just like COVID was spread around the world, we will not be able to avoid it. So be diligent and be prepared for Christ's return. That's the message. Be ready and stay ready. I like that. Reverend Ray Land says that all the time. Be ready and stay ready. You guys are going to get to meet him in a couple months for our revival. Talk more about that later. Verse 36 says, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Always be on watch. It's so easy to go along with the wicked ways of the world, right? Very easy. Matthew 7 13 and 14 says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many are going to enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. Well, I want to be one of those few. Amen? We all need to try to be one of those few. Amen? The devil wants you to do you. Like the commercial says for the casino, right? The devil wants you to do you. And many are going to fall into this trap. I lived in that trap for 25 plus years. But Jesus pulled me from the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock. Amen? I just had to stop believing the lies of the devil long enough to get sober, have some clarity in my life, and give my life to Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Don't get caught unprepared. Be sober and continue to look for the signs of Jesus' second coming. Amen? Continue to look for the signs. And also, pray that you have the strength to escape all these things that are going to take place. Stay prayed up. Stay in prayer. Lastly, that if we do these things, pray that we'll be able to stand before the Son of Man rather than hiding in caves and fainting in terror. We should be standing there with our heads up and our hands up. Amen? Happy. And lastly, if we're able to stand before the Son of Man, that it is only by His grace, amen, only by His grace and through faith in Him that we may experience salvation, not by works, amen. We will stand before the Son of Man and hopefully be found faithful when He returns. And I say that because remember in Luke 18 we talked about prayer, said there was a word about prayer and being persistent in prayer, amen, being persistent. Jesus speaks of prayer in the last days in chapter 18. He said, and will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on earth. He's going to know us by our prayer life. Amen? He's going to know us. This was Jesus instructing us to be faithful in prayer, so when the Son of Man comes, he knows who has the most faith on earth. Those who are persistent in prayer, in their prayer life, are always the most faithful. Amen? Persistence in prayer life. It's all about a relationship, especially the one with God. And relationships are built on great communication. All of our relationships are built on great communication. Then in verse 37, it says that each day, Jesus was teaching at the temple. And each evening, he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. Every day, Jesus was preaching at the temple. What a blessing it would have been to have season tickets for that, huh? Amen? Right? I know I would have been there. And to listen to him teach the Word of God, prepare everyone for the events that were to come then and now. And at night, they would spend their night on the Mount of Olives. They would leave to spend their night on the Mount of Olives, and I can't wait to go there and see that mount someday. I pray. And it is from that same mount that they would spend their nights that Jesus would ascend to heaven. In Acts chapter 1, amen? He would ascend to heaven from that same mount. And it would be that same mount, same mountain, where Jesus is to come when he returns. Amen? When Jesus returns, he's going to come to that same mount. And it's going to look like this. Amen? Right? That's what they're expecting the first time, right? Be watchful and mindful of the signs that the Lord is about to come on the world. So that when the Son of Man does come in all his power, in all his glory, you will be able to stand up, lift up your hands, lift up your heads. Amen? You will know that your redemption has drawn near. Okay, now speaking of persistence in prayer and the task of preparing ourselves for the second coming of Christ, I'd like you all to stand if you're able and say this sinner's prayer with me. Amen? That we may all be able to stand before the Son of Man on that faithful day and live with him forever. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins, and that you rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and ask you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name we pray. Amen. I believe if you said that prayer, we'll see you in heaven. Amen? Praise God. All right.